I don't know if it's the program that's changing this morning or me that's not able to follow, but you saw that I've jumped the gun twice. I guess that means I'm very excited to read the passage that we're going to read. Today's Bible reading is from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. It's on page 1127 of the Black Pew Bible. It's the story of Jesus and Zacchaeus. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning, for this time that we have together to come into your house and to worship, Lord, to present ourselves and our offerings to you as a willing and living sacrifice. Lord, I pray that as Zacchaeus, as we listen to your call, that we would come out of whatever situation we are in, and Lord, that we would open our hearts and would be obedient to you, and Lord, that we would follow you through whatever you ask us to. Lord, I pray that you would be with us this morning as we worship and as we listen to your word. We pray for our pastor that he would deliver your message with the sincerity and integrity that you have laid upon his heart. Lord, help us to be open to receive it. We ask these things and thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I was talking to a couple and we were discussing faith, my wife and I and this lady and her husband. And then these two started sharing to us, with us, what had happened in their life. He said, "I was a Protestant," and she said, "I was a Catholic." But both of them said, "We were empty on the inside." Neither the Protestant gentleman nor the Catholic lady had this wonderful satisfaction that they were seeking for and searching for. And then I said, "What happened?" And then they explained to us that they read the Bible and found the Lord Jesus, and their life has changed completely. And now their only desire is to live for God and follow Him in their journey of life on this earth. Well, there are many changes like that on earth, and I believe that you have experienced yourself, if you have experienced it, obviously, this change, and or you may have seen someone else change. We have the example of this gentleman now in the story we just read, Zacchaeus. From a cheating person to a very charitable person, from always taking money to wanting to give it away. Now, it must have been very difficult for this man to all of a sudden change so much, so quickly, to say, "If I have stolen any money, I want to return it, and I want to give more." From being enslaved to money to freedom from it. And you say, how can you be enslaved to money? Well, you know what the Bible says, the love of money is evil, because it leads to things that you would otherwise not do or dream of doing. But the love of money, when you fall in love with money, you forget the other loves you have on this earth. This is the true story of a man who met Jesus. Jesus was passing through Jericho, a very ancient city located 5 miles west of Jordan and about 15 miles northwest or northeast of Jerusalem. Now there was a man called Zacchaeus, who actually wanted to see who this Jesus was. But because he was a short man, he could not see Jesus because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a tree to see him. And then again, when I think of Zacchaeus, a man who was hated by everyone, wanting to see Jesus, the rabbi, the teacher who was healing people and talking to people about eternal life and about a purity and holiness and about worshiping God rather than money. I wonder, why did he want to meet Jesus for? He had everything going for him. Nevertheless, that vacuum, that emptiness was there. And that vacuum, that emptiness, that loneliness was growing and growing. He had a lot of money, but not joy, no happiness. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down and at once and welcomed Jesus with great joy. Now the wonderful thing is that Jesus knew his name. Nobody introduced him to Jesus, or nobody introduced Jesus to Zacchaeus. They wanted to ignore this crazy fool up there on the tree watching or looking for Jesus. Who cared what Zacchaeus, this criminal, this filthy man, was up there? But Jesus did. And Jesus went and stopped there and looked up and says, "Zacchaeus, come down." And people must have wondered, what is he doing? He's a sinner. He's a thief. He's a gangster. And Jesus, how did he know his name? Jesus knows everybody's name. Zacchaeus was a hated tax collector. So why would Jesus want to go and stay in this sinner's house? And sometimes we are confused, or believers or Christians have misunderstood God and Christ and holiness and Christianity. There were times when Christians would separate completely from the world and become monks or nuns or whatever, or just pull out of the community and not even say hello to someone that they didn't think was like them. But Jesus here, our Lord and Savior, our Master, God himself, says to Zacchaeus, "Come down, I want to have a cup of coffee with you." He shouldn't even have mentioned his name, let alone go into his house, but he did. Well, that's exactly what the people wanted to know too. How come Jesus went into his house? Let's look at Zacchaeus for a moment. He was a chief tax collector. He had become rich by cheating and stealing money from the taxes he collected, and also receiving bribes from those who wanted to cheat on their tax bills, if you wish. He was a man who, besides being hated for being a crooked tax man, he was also laughed at for being so short. Actually, tax collectors were considered equal with prostitutes. In Matthew 21:31, we read, Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you." Please, let's get to know Jesus. Jesus is saying to these scribes and the Pharisees and the religious people and the proud people that the tax collectors and the prostitutes are getting into heaven ahead of you. Meaning that Jesus came for every human being on this earth, and all those who received him will had and will have eternal life. Starting from the bottom, if you wish. A prostitute was stoned in those days. A tax collector was equal, or at least considered equal, with a prostitute. Even though Zacchaeus had high government position and wealth, he had a passion for more money. It was very obvious that people hated him because he was worshipping money. But this passion for more wealth and pleasure had left him feeling empty inside. If you expect money and pleasure to make you happy, you are setting up yourself to be disappointed. If you are setting up to find joy and happiness in money, in luxuries, in sex, in drugs, in alcohol, in whatever may excite you, then you're setting up for a terrible, painful failure and disappointment. Zacchaeus probably hoped Jesus could set him free and fill the emptiness in him, in his heart. He wanted to be saved. But as far as the religious people were concerned, Zacchaeus was not worthy to be saved. He was a terrible sinner. And this is a good message for us, the born-again believers, who, those of us who consider ourselves a little better than others, and we shouldn't. This is a good message for those religious people who will get on the radio, on television, or even write articles that you should disassociate yourselves from the prostitutes, so homosexuals, drug addicts. They have made a choice. They're going to hell. Jesus said he came to save everyone who needs to be saved. And I believe Jesus was a light where light was needed. Jesus was hope where hope was needed. Jesus was power when where power was needed. And Jesus was the source of every good thing that human beings are searching for and they cannot find because they are searching in the wrong places, in the wrong activities, in the wrong things to worship, if you will. Zacchaeus hoped that Jesus could fill that emptiness. And as you know, in our tract that we distribute, What Are You Searching For? And as I have mentioned many times about the, what Pascal said, the great mathematician, he said, in every human being there is a God-shaped vacuum that yearns, wants to be filled. No matter how many millions of dollars you have in the bank, you can only eat so much. No matter how many friends you have, those friends are useless when you go to bed alone and you feel so lonely and alone. No matter how many members of you have in your family, if these members are not close to you and they're not holding your hand and praying with you and walking with you in the journey of life, you're alone. And I'm sure when you go to bed and you put your head on the pillow, you say, I wish someone or something could give me that perfect satisfaction and that joy and happiness that I have not been able to find in drinking and everything else that I've been doing in life. Yes, Zacchaeus was a sinner, but he was willing to do something that the others were not willing to do. He was willing to run to where Jesus was passing. He did not wait for Jesus to come his way. He ran to him. He was willing, like a small child, to climb a tree to see Jesus. No pride, no fear, no effort was spared. He was not ashamed to do something unusual for a man of his position in order for him to see Jesus. And how many of us this morning in our adult class, a gentleman said that we are easy to make statements and comments, but when it comes time for us to give something from our time or give some time for the Lord or do something or become very active, we would rather give a check, some money, than do all these things. But this gentleman who was hated, and he knew that. He was even risking his own life by running after Jesus. He went to find something that was missing in his life. Many today think that they must climb up to be able to get to Jesus. And I've had examples of people who came to me or we were talking and they said, well, first of all, before I become a Christian, before I become a born-again believer or a committed believer or a saved Christian, I have to change my life. I have to set something straight in my life. I have this addiction, I have this, I have the other, I'm cheating on my wife, I'm cheating on my husband, I'm cheating on my taxes, and it's very difficult to not do it because I'm enslaved, or at least I'm hooked on that. I have a drug addiction, could be prescription addiction or whatever. I can't quit because my body suffers. Whatever the reasons may be, we always want to fix, or say, there are people who want to fix themselves before they go to Jesus. And actually it's like saying, I'll go to the doctor, I'll go to the hospital when I feel fine. When I feel healthy enough, I'll go to the doctor. And if you are a doctor or a nurse, you know that this is silly. And even we think it's silly. Well, you go to the doctor when you need him, when you are suffering, when something is wrong. And that's when we go to Jesus. We don't wait until we get better. The hope good works will bring them up near God. And there are a lot of people that they believe that good works save. And good works do not save anyone. It's like paying your wife to love you or paying your husband to love you. And it may happen. And there are situations these days that money buys even love, they say. But you cannot do that with God. You cannot buy your own salvation. You cannot pay for your own salvation. Salvation is a gift. It's the grace of God. They think religious ceremonies will lift them up and please God. You may be as religious as you want. These scribes and the Pharisees and the priests were very religious people, but Jesus had only negative things to say about them. Not because he hated them as human beings, but he hated their hypocrisy. They always thought by being a priest, I'm pleasing God. The other one thought, oh, I'm a scribe, I can write, I can interpret things, I'm pleasing God. The other one said, well, I give money and I'm pleasing God. The other one said, probably I'm helping these poor people. And you cannot bribe God, you cannot buy God's love, but you can earn it by surrendering your life to Him and saying, take over my life and I'll follow you. But the Bible says that good works have not and will not ever save anyone. We are saved by God's grace alone. Works are the result. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 say, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself, it is the gift of God. Not by works so that no one can boast. But Zacchaeus had to come down from the tree to meet Jesus and find what he was searching for. When Jesus saw him, he said, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. Zacchaeus responded at once and came down to meet Jesus. He had found what he was searching for. He had found Christ, the Savior. He right away immediately realized that emptiness was gone because he had met God, Jesus himself. Zacchaeus opened up his heart to Jesus. He invited him in. He opened up his home. And you know, how many of us have opened our heart to God, to Jesus? How many of us have we opened our homes for him? He opened his wallet. Now, it's very painful to give to God when you are attached to money. It's like having a magnetic force keeping that money in your wallet. Doesn't want to let go. But the moment Zacchaeus met Jesus and he realized that it was absolutely wrong to think that money is going to give him that the satisfaction, that peace, that serenity, He realized when he met Jesus that he was wrong. They didn't, but he did. He opened up his eyes to the needs of others. And often we, the believers, have closed, shut our eyes to the needs of others, to the needs of our brother who is sitting next to us, to the neighbor next to us, to the relative who is going through a difficult period of time. We don't pray for them. We don't care for them. They made their bed. Let them lie in there. We sometimes fail. But his eyes were opened completely from stealing from the people. Now he was willing to share or to pay or to give to others. He opened up his mouth to tell of his full commitment to those around him. And again, this is a wonderful thing to remember. Not only he made commitments that he honored, but also he opened up his mouth and shared his testimony. And I believe that's why we call it testimony, and often we have testimonies of believers in our temple news. And there was a time that we would have people come up and give testimonies, but then we ran out of people who were willing to give up their testimonies. But I believe every one of us has a testimony to share, like this man. When he believed in Jesus and accepted him as his Lord and Savior, he stood up and said to Jesus, "This is the man that was stealing. He was considered like a prostitute. Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." In other words, he was willing to put his words into action. He actually said, "I want to change here and now." Well, this is what it takes for someone to be transformed, to be changed. It is when you decide that you need to be changed. Now, if most people can't change because they think they only need some fine-tuning. I'm a good person. I'm a fine person. I only have to change a couple of little things in my life. A little fine-tuning will do. And God says, no. The whole thing has to be rebuilt, if you wish, or transformed, metamorphosis. As a matter of fact, he did not say, "I will try to change," or "I will change." He actually said, "I have been changed, Lord. I can feel it inside me, right here in my heart." And I believe only the one who has been transformed knows that he has been transformed. And I believe only a butterfly knows that at one time that butterfly was a crawling little worm and now is a flying, beautiful creature. I mean, when you looked at the butterfly before that butterfly was transformed, you'd feel almost pity. You could have stepped on that worm. But now that worm is no longer a worm, but it's a beautiful, colorful butterfly. Conversion brings restitution. First, we make things right with God and then with people, when and where possible. And again, it may not be money that you owe someone or you stole from someone. You may have stolen the trust of someone or broken someone's heart or may have whatever, done something or your relationship with someone is so bad that you cannot stand it. Well, when God transforms you and makes you a brand new person, you don't even know how, but all of a sudden you don't hate that person. All of a sudden you want to pray for that person. Even though that person hates you, still God has given you a new mechanism to deal with that hate. It's painful sometimes. There's a high price to pay sometimes, but God is always there to help you. A hated sinner was transformed, converted, changed to a child of God. If salvation is not followed by a change of life, then someone's salvation is questionable. Jesus said, "Unless you change, you will never enter in the kingdom of heaven." And all these cheap, easy believisms today are making a mockery of the Word of God, because the Bible says unless you change, you cannot enter in the kingdom of God. Matthew 18:3. The old self must go and a new self must be put on. Salvation came to the house of Zacchaeus. Jesus came to bring salvation to all who believe in Him. Every one of us. Have you experienced Christ's salvation yet? I hope you have. And I hope you will come down from wherever you are and humble yourself and say, Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my family and my home. And He will. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we bow our heads before Your throne and ask You please to touch our lives and heart. Like Zacchaeus, we need to have that emptiness filled with Your presence. Like Zacchaeus, we want to be touched by Your presence this morning. Lord, please touch each one of us. Help us, strengthen us. And Lord, be with each one of us today and for the rest of our journey on this earth. And just help us, hold our hand and strengthen us. I ask these things in Your blessed name. Amen.